This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Welcome to I Will Watch Anything Once. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the podcast. We're really excited for this week's episode. But before we get to it, I want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving, which was yesterday. So really, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Whether you do that with a big family or a small family, I wish you the best. A lot of things that I'm thankful for this year are just being able to do this with Connie Shin and have a good time with wonderful guests right here on the Boardwalk Audio Network. And there's a lot of great shows right here on the network that you can listen to and support. The best and easiest way to support us, in addition to listening, is going up to the right-hand side of the BoardwalkAudio.com website. And if there's a big button that says Support Our Artists, just go ahead and click on that. It's going to send you over to Amazon.com where you can do your holiday shopping. By clicking on that button, it costs you nothing. It's just that we get a small kickback by you using that link to start your shopping on Amazon.com. Help us all out right here on the Boardwalk Audio Network and all of the wonderful great shows to continue to producing great content for your ears. So thank you again. Click on Support Our Artists. Before we get to the guests, also, I just wanted to quickly say that I saw Justice League, because I'll watch anything once. Not anything I was excited for, but I decided to see it because I have a movie pass. Didn't seem like that was a waste of my money. Maybe my time. But I'm not going to get into it. There's probably tons of people talking trash on online or defending it or whatever. I will just say this. It was dumb to me. It does the same thing that each Zack Snyder film does. Man, does it look pretty? It's like getting a gift that's so perfectly wrapped that you're excited to open it. You're just like, that's a beautiful gift. It has to be great. But by the time you get the wrapping off and you've opened the box, you discover that it's empty. That's my biggest complaint about the Justice League and those that have come before it, is that it just lacks a bit of heart for me. It just lacks heart. There's a lot of forced push to make you feel and have heart, but I just don't think they have it actually in there. There's not really a strong heart in those movies. I would say this, though, as much as I do like Ben Affleck's Batman, guy's sort of a creep that we're discovering in his brother. I hope that, you know, that we get a better Batman down the road, but I have to admit, I like his Brute, and I really liked The Flash. I think there's potential there for Flash and that kid being, they can maybe tweak it so he's less annoying and naive and just be like a cool character. There were some effects that were cool with The Flash that were done well. I would just like a good speedster movie, and I think DC can do it if they like sort of redirect. They're kind of the people that are producing those shows. Maybe. I don't know. I don't have the answers. Hey, let me write it and ruin it for all of you and all the fans, too, because I'd happily do that. But that's enough about Justice League. You can all wait to see it at home on Netflix or any streaming service like HBO. That's all I got to say about that. But this week's episode, like Justice League, it's a big adventure. We definitely tackle and watched an adventure film from back in, I believe, the late 80s or early 90s. I bet we clarified it in the episode. But with our wonderful guest, let's get to it with Claire Loughran.
Loughran, I've heard
of. Oh. Let's try that again. All right. Welcome back to I Will Watch Anything Once. We're here with our lovely guest. I'm going to start all over again. All right. Welcome to I Will Watch Anything Once. I'm one of your hosts, Mark David Christensen.
And I'm your second host. Get your foot out of my face. Connie Shin. He's pointing his foot at me.
I felt like I had to point at her to cue her when it's like, yeah, Connie could do anything on her own, do it all on her own. But we're We're here with our very great guest, Clara Lochran.
You did it. Hello.
Hi. How are you? Thanks, Claire.
I'm good.
For joining us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, we just spent the early evening watching The Chipmunk Adventure.
Yeah.
Who I've never seen, but Connie, you've previously seen.
I grew up
seen,
watching
you
this.
You grew up. I remember the series, mm-hmm. never saw this movie.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of iterations of the Chipmunks, and this is a similar time as the series.
It was, yeah, it's definitely, it was like made 1987.
Yeah.
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 87, a big, it definitely has an 80s mark on it.
Oh,
entirely.
It's very 80s. The architecture is 80s. The fashion is 80s. The music is 80s.
Yeah,
it
very much
is
so.
Great.
It's, I miss that style of animation too, like with the Don Bluth style backgrounds and the, everyone has huge bangs. It's yeah. pretty great.
Everyone should just always have huge bangs, I think. I'm
but it was mostly the Chipettes, really?
No, even
or
the,
did they?
Even the Chipmunks had like kind of. They either had the Nick Carter split or the puffy Zach Morris like bang.
But I think like that's one of the things that distinguishes them as chipmunks. You know what I'm saying? Is that like bang? That like
oh,
that
yeah.
like hair?
That little hair on the top. They each have it and then
yeah.
it's styled differently.
They are like well, because at some point some they're not. Anatomically correct to be chipmunks.
No.
They're like an anamorph of a human and a some sort of rodent.
Yeah, it's very, if you really think about it, it's pretty creepy.
Yeah, well, because they're like human child sized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But before we get into more of how terrified we are of the actual, if a chipmunk was to walk in right now, mm-hmm. that was like them.
Oh my God.
Why, Claire, did you want me to see this movie?
Well, I have such fond memories of watching this movie. For me, it was just like candy. It was like fun, exciting. I love all the music in it. And I guess I was thinking of through movies that I really loved. And I just think it's just a really fun romp. And I wanted to rewatch it and see what it would be like to watch as an adult. And I think it delivered.
It did. I would totally get drunk and watch this again.
I mean, I know I'm the one who suggested it and already liked
it. For sure.
I feel like I have a bias because I grew up with it, so I have nothing but fond memories of me and my cousins just screaming at the TV.
Screaming at the TV?
Just like being excited and a lot of watch out and
yes.
all sort of that.
Yes, it's like a very exciting movie. And as we already talked about, the score is
it's beyond the movie, actually, to me. The score
great.
Felt like it belonged in another movie.
Yes, that's true. Well, just even from the opening image, it's there's like a huge buildup, and it's mm-hmm. very exciting, and you know that you're going on an adventure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for
so,
sure.
Yeah.
So give us, for the audience out there, or listeners that have not possibly seen this, or mm-hmm. just need a refresher, Claire, give us a quick synopsis of the Chipmunk Adventure.
All right. So the Chipmunks, Alvin, Simon, and Theodore, live with Dave, their adopted father. And Dave is going on a business trip. And Alvin very much wants to go because he wants to go see the world, apparently. This is his ambition. And we learn this. And so he and the Chipettes, or the Chipmunks and the Chipettes are playing a video game, and they run into these two obviously evil people because they have mysterious accents in a diner.
And they're smoking.
Mm-hmm. So clearly they're up to no good, who offer them a trip around the world. And we don't know it's for, well, we know, but the chipmunks don't know it's for an ulterior motive. So they are given the offer to go around the world dropping off these dolls. And the chipmunks ask no more questions. They're like, great, we're going to go off on an adventure. And so that's what happens. Is that enough of a synopsis?
Yeah, that's it. That's
all right,
great.
So that's it.
That's
they go
great.
On an adventure. And oh, but they not without pulling the old switcheroo of tricking their babysitter into thinking that Dave knows that they're going on an adventure.
Yeah. Which was a hilarious bit. We all laughed. Admit it, Dave.
That was a perfect bit.
I did think it was a good bit.
It was, they call Dave in the middle of the night because he's sleeping in Paris because Dave is exhausted throughout this movie. And he garbles something to them, and they record his voice, and they record it back chopped up to make it sound like Dave wants the boys to join him in Europe.
Yeah, Alvin has a notepad of all the words that he needs Dave to say, so he's prompting Dave with questions.
And if this wasn't hilarious enough, Theodore fucks up the recording so it sounds like Dave is...
It's garbled. Almost fast, but it's just garbled.
Yeah, and like almost in reverse or something.
Because they somehow call the home and have Miss Miller, the babysitter, answer the phone.
Yeah. Well, they call from just another phone in the house, which is fun.
Apparently the chipmunks had a line. They were like the rich kids.
Yeah,
that
they have their own private
line. Well, they live in the Seven Heaven house. That house is humongous.
Yeah, oh, it's beautiful.
Ginormous. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those houses where if I pass by it on the street, I automatically assume it's a business and not a home.
Oh, yes. That one. But Claudia's house
it has so many. Yeah.
Claudia
lives in Scarface's house. She has a huge bed. And you know someone's rich when there's unusual shaped stuff. Like she has an octagon glass next to her bed.
Yes. Yeah. And she has like a mirror with like a squiggle stripe down it and things like that. Like that, like art deco kind of.
Like it would be weird to not do cocaine in that bedroom.
Yeah. You have to do cocaine in the bed to go to bed.
Like even the dog.
I feel like you
bed.
See them do cocaine in the movie. Like Claudia
and
Klaus.
Well, one of them
Klaus.
Had a Bloody Mary, which was a bold choice.
It's a
cartoon.
Bold choice for a children's movie is to have somebody drinking that.
I'm trying
hard
to
that heart of liquor.
I mean, also, I don't know. I like if it's a spoiler or what. But
oh, we're
it
gonna
does,
spoil the whole.
But
thing.
It does seem like they're probably exchanging drugs in the chipmunks, the little dolls. Mm-hmm. Like it should be drugs.
What
but
I mean,
we don't see.
I mean,
that
they claim
drugs.
Diamonds.
Yeah,
they make it seem like people are buying jewels from them. Like illegal jewels, but really,
yeah, it's a very complicated.
They're smuggling. Okay, here's what's great: the chipmunks are delivering dolls that look exactly like them and switching them out for other dolls that look like the Chipettes. But what they don't know is that these dolls are filled. The ones they're delivering are filled with diamonds, and they're receiving ones that are filled with cash.
See, there are layers to this movie because to the chipmunks, they believe they're just going on a fun adventure around
for
the
no
world.
Reason.
Two random strangers
being funded
them.
By
well,
these rich.
They try to explain it by saying we're bored.
Yes, we're bored and very rich. Uh-huh. So in 2 days, we managed to fashion dolls that look just like you and have placed them around the world.
And they have to receive them in the most difficult but interesting places.
Yeah, they go around the world. I mean, they're going around the world. They go to Mexico. And it's like they drop it off at a place called Clubs and Tacos. It's a terrible name.
I thought it said Cluck. They said Cluck and Tacos.
Oh, is it Cluck and Tacos?
Maybe. Either
I think
one
I think it was
crazy.
Club and Tacos.
That, now I'm
I mean, I would say that makes more sense, but neither makes sense.
Neither of them are a good name for an establishment.
But the drop-off points for these dolls is insane. Like
but that was like a big a sombrero that was like a machine that grabbed it from them.
Which would be weirdly terrifying for a kid.
But do you think that was just part of the establishment? Like if you're actually ordering tacos from there, does it come from that mechanical sombrero?
You maybe are right. But I, from just what we watched, I assumed that everything was just designed for these pickups.
Yeah. That was a whole front just for them that they built.
Because they end up going to so many places that have built-in things. They go to, one point they go to a pyramid in like South America.
Oh yeah, like Machu Picchu.
And they drop one on, and they take one off, and then they drop another one on, and it drop. It's like it's like an Indiana Jones moment where it drops into the pyramid.
Yes, they're all very Indian. Yeah, and like when they're in Italy, there was that one where they knocked off the top of that pole and put it in.
Yeah, a pole that's like sticking out of water. Mm-hmm. And these drop-offs are dangerous. One of them's attached to a windmill.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And Jeanette very cleverly decides to try to grab it while from the air balloon.
Oh, man.
So dangerous.
The acrobatics in this are a feat.
Oh, and while they're doing this, there's a bunch of other people that look like bad guys that are trying to catch them.
Which... Now, because, okay, I want to talk about this part.
There are several levels of bad guys.
But breaking it down, they weren't. I'm confused by this damn movie. Because, like, I'm not confused by the conceit of, like, what the chipmunks are actually up to. It's all the back criminal story stuff that was got confusing.
It was very confusing.
Because it was like, okay, great, these two villains, they need a way for somebody's keeps catching... keeps like stopping them from getting diamonds places, which
then
the
again
way
they're
they
somehow
talked,
making money.
Yeah, they're somehow making money.
Because she has a humongous home and lives a life of leisure.
But she's apparently bad at her job if she's getting caught to do
it. And why aren't you in jail if you're caught in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
But they talk about the person that's captured, like that's been taking things or stopping them from their getting their diamonds as if another villain. Like the whole way they do it, they're like, ooh, I don't even remember them. If they had said the word inspector, I never caught it.
They didn't say inspector.
Yeah. So
we were as confused as you.
Okay, great. Right. You hadn't seen it before and all that. So I was like, very like, so they go to a guy who's like in a chair dressed like the Godfather at his daughter's wedding in the first Godfather, like in a white tuxedo with a red flower.
It definitely
and he's
wasn't,
like, huh, huh, huh. And he sends two thugs.
Yeah.
One with an earring.
And one with a gold tooth.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the gold tooth. They definitely, they very villain-esque, buff. Mm-hmm. They go chasing after the chipmunks.
But kind of just like spying on them.
But then they start to,
try to grab
that's
the dolls.
True. That's
They start to get more violent. Mm-hmm. At first it feels like they're spotting them, but then they're then they start trying to get it from them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they seem surprised when they're making their drop-offs.
Yeah, they seem so like, whoa!
Like, damn it!
Damn it!
Although they somehow seem to have a map or like they know the itinerary because they're always there when the chipmunks are getting there.
And just watching and waiting.
Yeah, exactly. They're like waiting for their moment, but they also don't just communicate with them. They never speak.
They're idiots.
But here's the thing that's confusing is those two were working for the inspector the entire time.
But the inspector seems shady.
Yeah, he seems shady, but in the end, he just arrests the bad guy.
Yeah.
So it's like, but wait, you said thugs?
Yeah.
You're trying to stop them. Or were you, like, it's so, there's layers here, they're not clear, because is the inspector, is he a bad inspector?
He's the one that's posing as the butler. In Claudia's house.
He's an informant.
For a fucking cartoon movie that should just be a fun romp, as you say, about chipmunks going around, there's too much going on.
Layers. This is layers.
Yeah, like we were never quite clear on what Mario's deal was. Mario's the butler who...
Mario.
They accidentally realize he's talking late at night on the phone because her business... multi-line phone next to her bed, one of the lights is blinking.
Claudia distinctly says, "No, no one is listening in." Cut to Mario listening in. Mm-hmm. So she was like, "No one's here, just me and my brother and the dog."
Mm-hmm.
But would she forgot that she has a staff?
No, because she immediately yells for her tea. Bring me my tea.
So Claudia's like, she's obviously successful, but she's messy because...
Yeah, and they lost everything over this one.
I imagine they inherited that money because they are bad at their jobs.
Probably.
Oh, and their brother and sister that lived together. That was weirdly adorable.
And they were in for a cartoon, too comfortable. Because he came in at near the end of the movie to address Claudia late at night after she found out about the Chipettes going to Antarctica, and he came in just a really high cut,
so short
robe.
He was not wearing anything underneath that robe
for sure. Mm-mm. He was naked.
Maybe they're twins. Well,
that doesn't explain it. Well, and
it
also
doesn't explain it. But I mean,
but he also has a rivalry with her dog, so there's some kind of jealousy going on.
Yeah, it's a total Lannister kind of thing. You get that reference.
I get the reference. I'm not a Game of Thrones person, but I get my notes
right now.
You know there's incest there, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
At some point, Dave asked me to write down, Brittany is sexy.
Oh, that was during Girls and Boys.
I didn't mention it because I think there's a part where, like, this is a kid's movie.
That had to be during Girls and Boys of Rock and Roll.
Okay, I just have to clarify that it's not that I was like, I'm really into this Britney. Write down that she's...
Will you remind me
that I find her sexy?
Well, I think it's because the way you said it, I was like, I'm writing this
down.
Because you looked at me and you said it in a way like, I know I shouldn't say this. But Britney's kind of...
You said that... this was when boys would find her.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was because not, you is, didn't say it was you, but you said like, oh, maybe somebody out yes, there would find
I
her.
Very much
sexy.
Because it was the part where they're in Athens. Mm-hmm. They all make it to Athens. They mm-hmm. end up bumping in each other. They're just passing through Athens.
They're
mm-hmm.
going
by the way.
Around the world on, we didn't even mention this. Did we mention that it's on hot air balloons?
Oh no.
We did not. Which is set up by a video game they're playing, which looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a video game about that's about it. Literally was called, I think, Eight Around the World in 80 Days, the video game.
Something like that.
With amazing graphics.
Because that story, they do go around the world in a hot air balloon. Oh, 80 mm-hmm. Days. Yeah.
Right, of course. Because yeah. this movie is obviously pulling from
great literature.
Great, yes. classic pieces.
Yeah, so they play that video game and then they end up. We're all over the place in this one, but it's who cares?
There's so many layers. I'm telling you,
there's so many layers because these villains, they're having troubles getting their diamonds around the world so they can keep living this lavish mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. They decide to hire these six children to do it.
Oh, and they don't train them on how to operate these balloons because the kids ask. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love how exhibition-y the dialogue was. Like, within the first two, I wrote this down, within the first two lines of the movie, you know where Dave is going and why. Because Theodore is like, are you ready for your trip, David? And then they call their dad David. And Simon's like, yeah, Europe sounds great. Yep. And it's just like, wow.
Europe on business.
Europe on business.
Q
sounds
Alvin.
Great.
I want to go to Europe.
Yeah. For the strangest reason. Mm-hmm. For the strangest reason. He wanted more culture.
Yeah.
I mean,
but that felt like an
go.
Alvin lie, right?
Yeah.
But why did he want to go?
He just probably wants to go.
I think it's
create
Alvin's
trouble.
Just a party boy, and he was like, yeah. I want to go party around the rest of the
yeah,
world.
Like,
and that was like a lie because it came from because that line came from him going, he goes, I want to see this. I want to see the Louvre. And Simon's all, the Louvre's is
Paris.
In Paris, mm-hmm. not where.
Simon's
all,
real
know
it all.
I don't even
yeah.
know where that is. I was like, oh, you're.
But we never find out why.
Like,
because
Alvin's
the thing.
Impulsive.
Alvin's a kid. What is he thinking? Like, he's going to go to Europe and get his dick wet.
I would, right now, somebody in the world with these new Alvin movies. They'd made a trilogy. Now grow them up to be fucking frat, like in college.
Well, see, that
do
makes sense.
Van Wilder,
like, yeah, Van
Alvin
Wilder with the Alvin Chipmunks.
Absolutely,
makes total sense. Where Alan's just trying to get his fucking dick wet.
Yeah,
Simon's like, oh, I just want to start a business and like half a family.
Yeah, you can take these characters anywhere.
Is still just eating.
Yeah, Theodore still has his eating disorder.
Oh my god, poor Theodore.
And they never let him eat. He's constantly trying
they're
to eat,
always, and they're always shaming him too.
Yeah,
oh,
like
it's
Theodore.
There's a lot of fat shaming.
Oh, yeah, it's insane. Like also they fat shame Eleanor
they
too.
Do.
Like
they
Eleanor,
really
how can you think of food
yeah,
at a time
food.
Like this? You fat bitch.
Yeah, but spoiler, she wasn't even thinking of food. She was thinking
no,
of
she was
someone
trying
else.
To save someone
yes.
that got in. Like, oh, the girls get kidnapped into sex slavery at one point.
We have this is like a big moment we have to talk about. They get taken, which is in
a movie.
Where else would sex slavery than one place
in the Middle
movies.
East?
Yep, Middle East, of course.
Oh, we've got a lot of stereotypes happening in those movies.
A child Egyptian prince who is evil,
who is voiced by the woman. What's her name?
Nancy Cartwright.
So if you grew up in Simpsons like me. Very disturbing moment.
Well, she has a slight accent, which is why I think she was able to allowed to do this. I feel like
right, or I think
this was first. I think because I think The Simpsons started in like 1990 or something. 1991.
Yeah, it's like 89 into 90,
and this was 87.
Maybe it was like the year before or something.
Yeah,
but she's using her Bart voice with the accent.
It's very weird,
and it's very well. This kid also sees Brittany and is like, I want to marry her in 10 years.
Yeah. He gives the caveat, though. He's like, it's not weird because it's in 10 years.
Oh, my God. It's terrible.
Which is weird.
But they're still going to throw an engagement
yeah,
party.
Yeah. But he also wants all three of them. But
which is also weird. He said, I want this one to be one of my wives.
Mm-hmm. But keep the others for play?
I guess side pieces.
And then they dress them all up in these little slinky outfits.
Princess Jasmine mm-hmm. outfits.
Is this the moment where you guys said it was going to get more sexualized?
Oh, no. I warned you when you said Britney's being kind of sexy.
Oh, during
when
Girls
she's
and
dancing.
Boys of Rock and Roll.
Yeah, yeah. So that one, because the way they're dancing, I was just like.
She was dancing pretty provocatively.
She was.
Butt out,
she
and
was.
She was like.
Yeah, she really like she had some good lines. She had some good curves going on.
And I was like, little boys lost their fucking mind.
Like this girl has definitely practiced in front of a mirror at some point.
Yes.
There's several moments where she posed while she talked.
Is part of the Chipmunks thing that they're professional singers or
They're all trained child stars.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
They can all play instruments.
But yeah, they're all children.
They can all sing and dance. That's their weird magical talent.
Yeah, and I think that's what Dave. I mean, they don't explain his business trip enough to know where he went. But
Dave writes music, believe it or not. Yeah, that broken man writes music.
Yeah, Dave is just a real. He's such a rain cloud of a human.
He's a heroin addict.
I can't believe that Alvin. Here's the thing: is like I get Alvin wanted to travel around the world, but did he not realize that Dave was going away essentially with Miss Miller being as dumb as she was, essentially just leaving him alone? With free reign and at home.
Oh, that it would be more fun at home with Miss Miller than it would with Dave. Yeah. Yeah. Because Dave would just be, you know, reprimanding them the same, but in another country.
Why did they not pick up on that?
Oh, God. Alvin. Use your head.
Alvin is not about the simple journey. Alvin is about a series of steps.
He's impulsive. He's passionate. You know, he's like, react now, explain later.
Oh, since we mentioned like the chipmunks being sexy, when I was little, I forgot about this. I had a crush on Simon.
I don't find that surprising at all.
What? Because first of all, you guys were bullying Simon throughout the movie, being like, oh, what a dick. He's such a smart ass. Like,
I didn't know. I mean.
I wasn't trying to bully. I think he had a tone to him that was a little condescending towards everybody else.
Because they were stupid.
No, he was totally logical. I think he had every right to say what he was saying.
He was the only sarcastic one. He was the smart one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Alvin's a sociopath. Theodore's got
I always sympathize with Theodore.
I think his tone is justified with Alvin, but there's a couple times he says with Theodore, like, I'm like, come on, man. That's your, like...
Well, Theodore's a mess.
Oh, Theodore's such a
little
punching
bag.
He just
wants to become a diabetic one day and be happy.
He's eating his many, many feelings. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the chubby ones in this are also the sensitive ones.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
You're 100% right about that.
Yeah, so Theodore's eating all kinds of Also, Theodore knows food around the world. Like, he goes... Where do they... They go to Athens, and right away, Theodore runs up to a vendor, and he's like, could I get couscous? And I don't even know what. Two grape wrapped leaves? And I was like, why does he... This is pre-internet.
Yeah, he knew, and that food looked great.
It did.
It looked great.
Looking up. You know he has a collection of books on food.
Which is delightful.
And he didn't get to eat it.
No, they fat shamed him out of it.
Well, even he was trying to get that banana from a monkey in a tree at one point.
A monkey is struggling to give this kid a banana.
In a hot air balloon.
Oh, how this monkey was like, they're fat shaming him. Here's
a banana.
It's a healthy snack.
God, do they never eat? Like, do
yeah,
they
there
never
are a lot
eat?
Of logistics that don't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this chipmunk movie.
I know.
Yeah.
I
think there are a lot of questions.
Is you watch a movie like this and it's meant for children. You clearly grew up on it, but I can't turn it off when I watch it when there's just too much going on. I'm like, wait, what? Like,
well, it is funny watching it now because I obviously grew up with it. And to me, a lot, it just made sense when I was little. Like the thing with the who's a villain and who's a good guy. Mm-hmm. Like I had no questions when I was little, but now you're right. It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Who was good, who was bad. Because I think I thought that some of the good guys were bad guys in this because that's how it's framed.
I think this movie moves really, really fast.
Oh, yes, that too.
I think the reaction kids were supposed to have when they're watching this at the end, when the guy says, I'm an inspector, kids are supposed to go, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, pretty much, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, don't fight it.
Oh, good. The good guy's here.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Cops. We respect them. That's a French cop.
Like, yeah. In reality, if they were dressed as cops when they were trying to snatch them dolls, the chipmunks probably would have been like, oh, shit, why are the cops after us?
Right.
Here, yeah. Take these dolls that look like us.
Yeah, stopped all the fun.
It's true.
And, oh, here's another weird thing I have with, okay, so movies where animals are supposed to be human, when another animal enters the scene, doesn't it get confusing?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We ask this all the time in the Disney movies because, like, Sophie's
Pluto
a dog.
And Goofy.
She
yeah.
can't talk.
Yeah,
Sophie's she can't talk.
She yeah. can't talk. So,
and then there's a baby penguin who's getting trafficked.
That's right.
Yeah. Ooh. I love that. There's some deep deep threats in here mm-hmm. with sex trafficking mm-hmm. in this movie with the girls yeah. and this penguin.
Yeah.
The penguin is doubly confusing mm-hmm. because the dog, it's like, okay, it's sort of like a Pluto thing where it kind of like,
it's a pet, right. it's I a guess, pet. Mm-hmm. Which is actually more confusing because then some animals are like subservient.
There is a class system mm-hmm. in these cartoons for mm-hmm. the animals. But with the penguin, one, he can't talk.
Nope.
He just is like a normal animal.
But he understands.
But he understands. Then, in addition to that, he has a fucking locket which has a photograph of him and his penguin parents.
Yeah, they kidnapped him from home, but not before giving him a locket with his family portrait
to
inside.
To taunt him.
Yeah.
To taunt oh. him.
To taunt him. Oh. Then, in addition to that, still these penguins cannot, they can understand, but they can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
When we get finally to Antarctica... They have cribs for their penguin children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super confusing about what
they,
you...
Well, they have cribs, and they also have one empty crib oh. to be like, we're still missing. We're not giving up hope. We're still looking yeah. for him, which
and
is
have,
nice.
Yeah, and they have two other babies, and one's a little older.
Yeah, one's
and
a little
one's
older.
Similar size.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
there's definitely
I mean,
some years between those babies.
Not sure how quickly baby penguins age, but right. the math is a little confusing.
I mean, technically... That mother wouldn't be around.
She wouldn't be.
Oh, would she? Or I mean, no, maybe I'm just thinking of the hatching.
Oh, yeah. The
penguins
the males
care.
Can incubate the
yeah.
eggs, but I think the females are still around.
They're still around.
Mm-hmm.
That was an.
I mean, we'll have to look up some.
That
science.
Was a lack of knowledge and assumption on my part.
But I just don't know what the gestation period of an
yeah,
egg is.
I don't either.
Well, man.
Okay,
all kinds
we
of
have to
issues.
Find out one thing.
Hmm?
Sandra.
Oh.
So opening credits for everybody out there. Opening credits, it's just standard credits are just rolling, you know, typically
exciting
a lot of,
music, a driving theme.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, but the credits are just pretty traditional
yeah.
for the most part. Like
very
80s
like squiggle
this person,
writing. Yeah.
yeah. But then there's one part where it comes up and it's
character design
by
Sandra.
Sandra. Just and we're not It's like a Cher kind of. It's presented like Cher or who's another like Beyonce. It just says Sandra.
So I don't know. So when did the chipmunks start? Like 50s or 60s?
I believe
Is
so.
Is that Sandra?
I'm just thinking like there was a lady lounging around and she just thought up the idea and went, ah, chipmunks. And that was Sandra.
Well, here's the thing. Like, because the chipmunks through the decades, they're drawn a little differently. Like, the ones in the 50s look very different
oh,
from the
so
ones
you
in
think
the 80s.
It's this specific design.
Yeah. And even from the 80s cartoon, they look different from this movie. They look, they all have eye color, which is not something they normally have.
Oh, yes. They
like,
have very
has blue,
defined eyes.
Blue or green eyes because they're all white.
Well, Eleanor had like
white.
A honey,
oh,
like
yeah,
a honey brown.
Yeah. Hazel eyes.
Chipmunks.
Even Dave had eye color, which is insane.
But with the chipmunks, that whole white idea, too, that they look like just, in this, they look like white children.
Yeah, they're white.
They,
white
like,
children.
Eliminated, like, just any other color, because a chipmunk, like, traditionally is brown.
Yeah.
It is not
yeah.
white. Mm-hmm. Like, the chipmunks of, what are the other two famous, Chip and Dale.
Yeah, they're animals.
They're definitely animals. They have brown, like, fur.
Yes. Mm-hmm. These, yeah, their design is confusing.
Very, I would call it a little bit of whitewashing happening in this.
It's
Sandra. It's as if Macaulay
Culkin thinking?
Was put in a machine with a chipmunk and then out came
Hulk Hogan.
No. Macaulay Culkin.
Oh.
Macaulay Culkin. but the same dimensions.
Macaulay Culkin.
Mixed with a
chipmunk. I mean, Alvin kind of reminds me of sort of a Kevin McAllister. Well,
a Kevin McAllister slash Zach Morris.
Dennis the Menace.
Well, yeah, he's an amalgamism of all those 80 lead characters where they play guitar and they're just a psycho Ferris Bueller-like dick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Alvin, you're right about that. He's a sociopath that has a mix and he has charisma in a sense. But I feel like here's the thing that I think Alvin lacks, at least from this iteration of him. He doesn't have any drive, really. And it was all, like you've said, like it's just... We mentioned earlier, it was like, it's sort of just reactionary to things. Mm-hmm. It's never like we'd never had a clear idea why he wanted to go to Europe.
Yeah, like
to
he
Europe.
Only wanted to go to Europe because Dave was going to Europe. So it was like a reaction. He was like, I'm going to go too.
Yeah, or he's a little bit of a little needy. He's a little needy maybe, of David. Yeah. And then all the other stuff, like, it was just like, I need to beat Britney.
Exactly. He's driven by
her.
Those
two have the most sexual tension I have ever seen on screen.
At one point, that's very...
Like, at some point, Simon's like, we need to keep these two apart.
Oh, yeah. During that sexy girls and boys rock and roll.
Like, can you... Like, these two, like, they can't wait.
Don't they... Aren't they, like, an item at some
they
point?
They are an item, but they're, like, also, like, weird sort of frenemies. Like, in 80s cartoons, there's this thing where if a boy and a girl, are, like, are totally meant to date, they're also... When they're not, like, dating, they're enemies.
Oh, yes. I feel like that's...
Well, also, Brittany is, like... Okay, so the Chipettes are girl versions of the Chipmunks, and which is hilarious.
Yeah,
like,
there's like
Theodore
a mirror
and Eleanor
world.
Cute.
Yes. They're so cute.
There's a tall, nerdy girl. I don't know if you got the Roosevelt joke in there.
I probably didn't catch it, but
Theodore and Eleanor.
Oh, duh.
You just literally
God.
Had to lay that out
duh.
To me.
Pretty cute.
That is
Jeanette
very
Jeanette and
Simon. They're both tall and nerdy. And Brittany and Alvin are both assholes.
Yeah, they are. They use their friends. They're
siblings.
Yeah, they use their siblings just
for
their own game.
They use them.
Oh, Brittany's such a diva. Even that one shot where she's just lounging
with sunglasses.
With sunglasses at night.
Yeah.
And the sunglasses are gleaming. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe it's more like sunset, and that's when they're going over the pyramids.
And they're really into fashion. And her outfit is timeless.
Oh, it's beautiful.
80s at its best.
It's like a crop top with a giant bow on one shoulder. Like a little, like a mini skirt
and
leggings.
Leg warmers.
Oh, leg warmers.
And her hair is in that perfect 80s ponytail. Meanwhile, Eleanor is wearing the cutest, flight attendant uniform.
Oh, yes.
Because it has a little tie.
She's got a little, like, plaid
and,
tie.
A vest.
Pigtails.
Oh, and they're all matching their counterparts. Like, Eleanor only wears green. Jeanette only wears blue. Brittany wears pink, which is the girl version of red.
Oh,
I don't know if you knew
that. And also, they even get those colors when they're dressed in those Princess Jasmine outfits.
Yeah, it was
somehow
like they're
accommodated.
Their slavers were like, you know what? They've been through enough. Let's keep them in their colors.
Give them what they want. Clothes to be...
Yeah, we have those shades
objectified
for you.
And... Ugh. Oh. There's such a dark... There's the version of this that's so dark.
Yeah, the movie is called Taken.
I know, I was thinking you could...
It's Taken, but Liam Neeson's character is a bumbling idiot named Dave.
And the girls have to rescue themselves.
You could make this a live action movie and it would be really interesting.
And dark.
And dark.
Oh yeah, very dark.
I feel like it could be good.
Can you imagine, okay, you got kidnapped and you're put into sex slavery, you're being promised to someone, and then you find someone else that's also been trafficked, and you find out you're running away. And you want to help this other person, but their family's in Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
You reroute your hot air balloon and you drop him off.
Yeah.
Because that's the right thing to do.
And $100,000 is at stake. And beating the chipmunks.
Oh, boy. It's just, there's so many.
Why don't they just say it's $1 million? Why $100,000?
Because that's another part that's overly complicated because... Because they're sitting there trying to they're one at that cafe. I don't know why those types would even be in the same cafe. As
it's like a deserted cafe that's very 80s style because it's like that I don't like, I want to say it's like garden patio sort of, but inside, because I could see ivy, I think, and like those like swirly white chairs.
It was like a Johnny Rockets.
Yeah.
Like in an abandoned Johnny Rockets that for some reason somebody comes in and cleans, keeps
and like that
clean.
Like sort of like pastel 80s color scheme.
And they're playing a video game that was half arcade style, half jukebox.
Yes.
Which was cool.
It kind of had a cool design. Like if I saw that design of it, because I think some of the older games, if you go to like, do you guys ever go to Button Mash here?
Yeah.
If you see some of those games, they have a different, so there's some older games that have different shapes.
But are they shaped like jukeboxes?
Not like that. So it's like, I'm just saying it'd be cool. If I saw an arcade game like that, I'd think it
you
was
play
cool.
It. You don't play it.
But they're sitting there smoking, doing that, and they're like, oh no, we don't know what to do.
Yeah,
we overhear these kids.
I don't know why these people are there.
They quickly come up with a plan, but in order to entice them, they first make bets with each other. Mm. They go, well, I bet that this young lady could win. I bet $1 million.
Oh, yes, they charm the chipmunks. Like, he says, oh, this young lady could win. And then she says, oh, but I bet this boy could win. So they bet each other $1 million.
Yeah.
So but the then kids offer $100,000
for them
as
to
a prize.
Really do it. It's weird as hell.
There's layers of incentive for these kids to get those diamonds as quickly as possible in exchange for those.
Don't you think
cash.
That those two have a shared bank account anyway? So why does it matter?
Well, I mean, they're sharing a mansion.
Yeah, I think that's just for show. If I have to break it, it's for show.
Because didn't they even say we are very rich?
Yeah, and bored.
Hello, we are rich and bored.
I wrote down in my notes, Cannibal Holocaust. Because at some point, they get the chipmunks are in the, let's call it the Amazon.
Something like that.
Yeah, and they get kidnapped by these
aboriginals
a super
of some kind.
Offensive portrayal of an aboriginal tribe.
Yeah.
And they're going to, well, first they do that classic move of worshipping one of them.
It's such a, it's an overdone, I mean, it happened in Star Wars with the Ewoks. When they do C-3PO, but it's even more offensive than technically another whitewash. Another whitewash moment. They're worshiping little
it's
a
like
white
Ace
kid.
Ventura when nature calls kind of thing.
Ace.
Well, it's a trope where when
but
they
don't do they worship him? I don't think they worship
him. I don't
him.
Know.
Well, it gets mocked because that has one of my favorite like comical moments in that movie that I still will laugh out loud even when I think about it. Right,
wait,
now. It tickles me.
The rhino thing.
No, the spear moment. He's about to fight the guy they bring out to fight to like earn like his respect.
Oh yeah,
and he has the guy throws a tiny spear and it hits his leg. He like hits his leg and he freaks out, and then his own spear goes into his own leg, and he just physically Jim Carrey's like looking at both spears in his leg, and it's I think it's one of the funniest. It's
so
funny. It tickles me just thinking about it.
I don't remember this part.
I'm just gonna try to find it on my phone while we're talking.
While we're talking about this other movie.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yes,
because I
always just remember.
So
I remember that rhino part.
But the rhino's
it's a great movie.
Oh, so they kidnap Theodore. They worship him.
Oh, so we think that at least finally Theodore
is
getting
the
his
love
day.
And food that he needs.
Well, he was definitely getting the food,
but. Simon, who speaks every language known to man.
Oh,
he's the smartest
absolutely.
Kid in the world. The smartest chipmunk kid in the world.
And his translations are wonderful. He's like, I think they're saying that Theodore is their god, and we are going to be his servants.
They all speak with a weird cadence like that, but I think it must be because they had to speed it up, so they have to speak so slowly. But if you've noticed, the speech patterns are really strange.
It's
you're probably right because they manipulate the voices a little, right?
Yeah,
because
like the levels go. Yeah, it's like I think that it is saying, but.
Well,
I don't,
well, they had to show that Simon was struggling with
this
accent he's only studied.
Because, yes, he does know the language, but he's not completely fluent.
You also notice he doesn't speak back, but... and he can also read it, too.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And
if my calculations are correct...
If my translations are accurate... Oh, and there's a part where he fucks up the translation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they don't want to worship Theodore. What they want to do is they want to sacrifice Theodore.
Yep. Naturally.
And in an elaborate plot. Yeah, I'm still struggling with the physicality of how they, because they put him on this platform that's held up by ropes over a cliff,
like an alligator pit.
Is water, water with alligators. But how do they get that in there?
Yeah, there's like an island being suspended by rope.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it would take. It feels like there's a crane that they didn't show us.
But
they'd have to have a crane, is what I'm saying.
They created
you'd have
a mound.
To elevate it somehow.
Yeah, you'd have to elevate it and then tie it. And I'm just like, what?
Unless they lost a lot of their tribes.
They created a mound that had they tied rope to, and then they like dragged one end of rope to the other, and then just it was suspended in the middle.
It feels like we've walked into like one of those riddles where like the classic riddle where it's you have a boat with a coyote, a rooster, and whatever the other one, like whatever the other one is,
like a sheep or something.
Sheep, yeah. And he's like the coyote or the wolf or whatever. It's gonna eat. Oh, how do you get them across the boat?
But that's right, because even if they got that, even if they got that like piece of earth suspended, how did they get the chipmunks on it?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like and then they dropped were just them by helicopter,
burning the
rope. Yeah, they were gonna burn the rope and like have a weird have them slide off.
Don't you think? And also, don't you think? If their idea is they have this huge, it was like a rock mound. It wasn't like soft. It looked hard.
It wasn't like a basket.
Yeah, sturdy platform.
So as soon as it falls, it's going to crush a lot of the fucking alligators that you put there to eat your god.
Yeah.
Like, also, the sacrifice is just killing them. They don't care. It's not like they're not eating him. They just are killing him.
Yeah.
Oh, also, okay, so they start singing, right? And I'm like, and so it seems like Alvin has a plan, but he doesn't.
I know. It would seem that singing gets them out of tight situations, but it doesn't. You're right.
No, if anything, it's sped it up.
Yeah, because it's, so they start singing Wooly Bully as they're being lit on fire.
And before they even sing, like I feel like you in other movies, you would see a movie where like this, where like, let me try this, and they'd start singing the song,
right?
And the natives would be like, "What the fuck?" Mm-hmm. And kind of off put,
like a distraction.
And then they would finally get, in, they'd work their way
like the snakes did,
like the snakes.
And they'd be like, "Oh, holy burly." Then they get into this, this before they even get to the lyrics. It's like the natives knew the tune.
It was
a request.
They requested it. They requested this.
It was like bully. The chipmunks' reputation preceded them, and they knew that they should request a serenade.
They have a very specific genre taste in music, because he says, "Do you have any song requests?" And the guy goes, "Wooly bully." And I'm just like,
he says it like "Wooly," and then they're like, "Oh, I guess that's Wooly bully."
But I mean, if you listen to the original song, because this, as a kid, this was the first time I heard that song. And later when I heard it on the oldies station, it's pretty clever how they incorporate it. Because the guy does say, watch it now, a bunch of times. Alvin, who's screaming that because he's about to be murdered, it's pretty funny.
It's great.
It's clever.
Oh, and not to mention that the...
Wow, are beaming.
It's delightful. They also tied up those little... The Alvin and the Chipette's dolls.
That was so funny.
Also on the stakes to be burned.
Yeah, the little dolls are all tied up.
The cutest way to approach death.
Yeah.
Like for a kid's audience.
Like have a kid and their toy tied up is... pretty funny.
I'm with you on that.
It's a whimsical plot.
Like one time singing does get them out of a tight spot is when the girls they're trying to grab their dolls, but the dolls are surrounded by cobras because they're in the Middle East and that's racist. And so they're like, how do we do this? And they're like, wait, can't you charm snakes?
Mm-hmm.
But the way they charm these snakes as if by singing, the snakes act like a bunch of people like at a wedding, like when someone's about to start dancing, like, all right, we're getting into it. And the snakes, and at one point they grab the snakes and start using them as a microphone.
But he loves it.
You've neglected to say that the song they sing is
because I was gonna do it a different interpretation.
It's called
based
Getting
on the song.
Lucky.
Oh yeah.
The song is very disturbing because they're so young and they're singing.
And also, why are the snakes attracted to them?
That's what I was thinking, because there's my interpretation. Instead of a wedding, the snakes act like frat boys about to have a fucking like a sex party.
Or it's like they're seducing the snakes.
Yeah, Japanese, like drunken, like what they're like.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because like snake charming music is normally that kind of like seductive sound, but they didn't go with that. This was like a full out pop song.
But with a sexy message.
Very much seductive. Because it's like, tell me what I need to do to get lucky with you.
Get drunk and get in my bed.
It's disturbing when you break it down.
But it works.
And at some point, they use the they tie two of the snakes together, use the fangs from one to like claw onto a wall and use it as a little rope.
Yeah, like a classic like bedsheet gag.
Yeah, which is funny and weird. And
it was fun.
That made me laugh.
And Eleanor brings a cooler.
Yeah,
like a modern cooler.
She disappeared. That was the best decision. She disappeared.
Oh,
for
she
a
was
bit.
Not in that number at all.
And then just showed up with a cooler.
Yeah,
which was later revealed that's
like,
where the penguin
is. Well, they're even like, Eleanor, what are you doing? She's like, oh, these are just some sandwiches. She says, I don't know.
She said some cold cuts.
Yeah,
and
she's
some
like, just like cold cuts and Sammy's for later.
Like, there's like, what's that called? A tailgating party?
Yeah, we did the tailgating. We have tailgating to
it's
do.
It's a tailgating style cooler filled with cubes.
Like, to be honest, I would not be surprised if they pulled that hot air balloon up to a tailgate party.
Oh,
and
that'd be delightful.
Partook.
The songs they would sing.
Oh, that is delightful.
The adventures could go on and on.
Yeah, they did. There was a series, and you see Brittany get sexualized a lot more. There's a lot of weird questions. Well, here's why it's so weird. It's because a lot of the characters came in at different times. Like at some point, I think I mentioned the boys just wear sweaters that go down to their ankles, mm-hmm. whereas the girls are wearing full on customized outfits. And it's because the girls didn't come until the 80s, whereas the boys were like from the 40s, where it would make sense that they're only wearing human clothes.
Right. Like human clothes on an animal. Mm-hmm. Although the proportions are still confusing.
Well, you see one of the cannibal or tribesmen wearing, they try to barter with the tribes people by saying, you want them this hokum of clothes. And so they take, but what's funny is the tribesmen probably understood him and were like, fuck you, we'll take the clothes and you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to take them all.
So they did.
Yeah.
And the boombox.
And he's wearing, and they're huge boombox, and he's wearing the sweater, and it fits him just right.
Perfectly. Yeah. And Alvin brought too many?
Like 12.
Like 7.
At least 7.
I think
it
was more than
12. I think it was
felt
so
like
many.
12 or more, and it was so many of them.
Maybe. Do you think he's just like sweating through these sweaters?
Yeah, he's a little creepy.
Yeah, he's got so many. But for some reason, none of them, they weren't wearing Theodore's. Theodore was also trading his clothes, right? But none of them were wearing Theodore's sweater. It was just Alvin's.
Maybe only Alvin brought clothes.
Theodore's wearing the same one the whole time.
So I have a question for you. They have the new ones, you know, the new movies.
Uh-huh.
And they have tails, right? In the new ones.
Well, they're also anatomically correct.
Yeah. And that's what's weird about this, too, is like I would track it back if they're like chipmunks that like Dave is like making a record career out of, that these big clothes are like what he puts on them to sort of hide that they're chipmunks.
Oh,
that's what I like just put together. It's like maybe that's like a way to be like, aha, look, they're cute, but they're like, it sort of hides their tail. It's, so it's sort of confusing that when we finally get their sweaters off in this, at least the two, they have no tails.
I didn't even notice that.
Well, you don't see butt either.
You don't see butt or tail, but like.
But why would Dave want to be hiding that they're chipmunks? No, isn't that a great gimmick?
He introduces them as chipmunks.
They're Alvin and the chipmunks.
But he also introduces them as his sons.
Yeah, and calls them boys.
I'm telling you right now, Dave is an abductor. This is a room situation.
You don't think he legally adopted?
I think he took them from, just like the penguins.
Oh my
he
god!
Took them from a tree,
and well, that is actually why Eleanor felt so much
guys,
sympathy for that penguin.
I actually know the backstory. I had this on VHS, and I watched it a million times.
Great. That backstory is
all right. So there was a famine going on in the forest.
Oh.
Okay, and so the boys were raised by a single mother. They were babies, and she couldn't afford to take care of them. So she essentially abandoned them at Dave's doorstep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why did she choose Dave?
Random choice. Oh, no. She said a man who was very kind to the animals in the forest.
Oh, my goodness.
Also a musical
almost
person.
Like a Moses sort of situation.
Yeah. So Alvin is Moses.
Biblical story.
Yeah. And because in that episode, they go looking for their mom and they're like, why did you leave us?
Really?
Yeah, because Alvin's super pissed off.
The
chipmunks aren't afraid to go there. They deal with a lot of issues.
Here's the real dark part. well, not dark actually, but like they're like, "Mom, why don't you come live with us now that we found you?" And she's like, "I can't. I live in the forest."
She's like, "I'm feral. I can't."
She's like, "I wouldn't belong there." And
that's heavy.
It's a journey for them to accept it.
Is this from like the 80s series?
Yeah.
This was in the 80s series.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, and I remember being a kid and being like, "I appreciate you tying all these knots. I appreciate
that." Yes, there are a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah, that's good that they did that. Now
the mom
I know.
Kind of looks like Jeanette.
Oh,
so
that's, I guess, the girl chipmunks just look more human.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're insinuating she's also their mother, which would
be
bad.
But then it would
be bad.
Because Brittany and Alvin are clearly going to hook up eventually. Like,
well, they are.
Up.
Well, they're all going to hook they're up with, gonna... the, with the female versions of themselves.
That's how
they're all narcissists.
That's called a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to find someone that's exactly like you, but the opposite. Mm-hmm. Or insane, maybe.
I remember, this is really random, but I was online and I saw, I think I was on Twitter, and I saw this video of these two preteens trying to do something cute online, and I remember being very grossed out because you could tell, like, the way they were physically acting with each other, they were a couple, but they also looked like, if you said they're platonic twins, I would have been like, oh yeah.
Well,
they looked so alike. It was crazy.
There's so many couples that look like they could be siblings. I think people either do. It's either, yeah, opposites attract or
matchy-matchy.
Similars
or
attract.
One pair is taking over wardrobe. One of the two is just starting to decide who, what to wear.
I used to think a good indicator if a couple was going to work was if, does it look like they shop at the same store? And so far that rule always works.
That makes sense because you got like the same vibe, the same style.
Yeah, the same lifestyle, the same, probably the same values.
That's probably true.
If they look like they shop at the same store. If they don't,
so
that's
you
not
should be
work.
Looking for your match at the stores.
Where do you like to shop?
Like, yeah, where do
I
you
shop
like
online.
Meet
so
your loved
what
ones,
does that say?
Meet your loved ones at the same store.
Somebody else shops online.
Like if you like to shop at Hot Topic, go to Hot Topic. Yeah. That's where your love is going to be.
It's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wild.
That's great advice.
That is good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, forget the grocery store. Everybody goes to the grocery store.
So well, that's making it too broad, though, right?
Right, yeah. But no, that's what I'm saying. You gotta go to like choices. The clothing store, like something specific, as specific as possible.
Yeah.
If you're like kind of like a player, though, you're just gonna go to the grocery store and be like, all of you will work.
You can't go to the player store.
Or if you're a player, you go to other stores that you don't actually
yeah,
want
like,
to shop
I don't
in.
Shop here,
yeah, you're like,
oh,
you go try
it
the
out.
Ho- you yeah. go to the hoe store.
You go to the ho- you go like stripper merchandise stores.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So we have to rate it.
I think you know what my rating's going to be.
I know yours. I think I can name. Should we name each other's on this episode?
Yeah.
For each other? Okay. Because I think we've talked about it, right? I don't know if there's
I mean,
more.
You could go on and on.
I mean,
you
everything.
Could go on and
yeah.
on. That whole ending sequence is like a full hour
they
conversation.
And they rush it so
much. Oh, it's
much.
So fast. But it does have, I think, what the best song of the movie is. That was not a sentence, but.
Which is that song?
The Diamond Dolls song. It's just got, I don't know, it's a really catchy song. As they're running away from the good guys.
Yeah, technically the good guys. They're bad, but
I think.
Good. Confusing.
And they're also driving away from the airport while talking about going to their jet, which I guess is at a different location.
But even if you, I mean, unless, were they, did they live in Los Angeles?
I think so. Or
somewhere where they could record music.
At least the police station was in Los Angeles because it said LA department on the door.
Then I would say this.
Oh, no, no. Because when she's driving to the airport, there's a sign that says Long Beach.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe they're just in general South.
So I imagine they live in Burbank.
Southern California.
Yeah,
I imagine
makes
that
sense,
Claudia
Burbank.
Was in Bel Air.
So then I would assume that if they went from, if that was LAX that they arrived at the end, they're driving to the Santa Monica airport.
That's
my pitch because that's a smaller airport.
Okay. Yeah, that's very plausible.
They live in LA.
I mean, I think we cracked all the logic of this movie.
We did. No one else. There's nothing else to be cracked. We solved it all. My rating that I know for Connie is totally multiple.
Yeah.
Totally like this movie is ingrained in you. You grew up with it. I get that. There's movies that we will never You can break it apart. You can make fun of it as much as possible.
But you're,
but you love it. Has a place in your heart, and it will always have a place.
Like you, like legit enjoy.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll get a kick out of it, no matter the circumstances.
Yeah. For you, I'm gonna say. Well, knowing your taste, okay. I'm gonna say no, because there's
you
so
mean once
like
I've watched it once.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna say for you, you'll just watch it this once because there are so many times you're like, ah, come on.
I will say this. I'll give it a twice.
I was gonna guess maybe a twice.
I'll give it a twice because I didn't hate it. Like once is typically meaning like, oh, I'll never sit through this again, I think.
Because I also know that you hate it when they don't sing original songs. So.
There were original songs in this.
What?
I think a majority of them were.
Really?
Rock
Girls
and
Boys of Rock and Roll.
Was that an original song?
Maybe not. I don't know. But I didn't know them well enough to like, I didn't know them well enough to call them out other than her, Bully Bully.
Mm.
So... Yeah, I can see how you would play that again, like think that mm-hmm. would be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because I think if the opportunity came up and I was watching this again with a group of people, they were like, just, we were hanging out, mm-hmm. drinking, we're like, we're going to throw on mm-hmm. Chipmunks mm-hmm. Adventure, I wouldn't go home. I'd sit and have another laugh at this movie.
It's got some great bits.
It's again, it would keep me entertained.
Yeah.
I could sit through it again.
Yeah.
It didn't like tire me out. It didn't drive me. Like the logic things are at least fun things to be like, that's another hook that is going to keep
you
me.
You do get invested.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. like, it's those layers.
They have these characters. I mean, they have character. They're not just randomly throwing stuff at you. Mm-hmm.
I would say that I think Dave is. Someone needs to call him. He's just a bad dad.
He's like lugubrious.
He's
also,
terrible
he's like,
at
oh,
life.
Like,
he's terrible at life. The kids are basically raising him because like they remind him, oh, your cat is here.
Simon's
your tickets.
Yeah.
And on
here's
the TV
your
show,
map.
Theodore cooks for him, which is a little weird.
That's no, Dave, again, he's as much as they have that storyline. Seems like he's
being raised by them.
Yeah. Seems like maybe that's the whole thing is like he was a I pictured this as the darker backstory is not that he snatched them. What happened was when their mother was making this idea to give up her kids that Dave was upstairs about to fucking kill himself.
Oh my god!
He's such an Uber.
It's like the split
screen. Worked, nothing in his life up to that point had been worked. Like all his dreams had just been like crumbling. Then he got to the
his
door.
His fingers on a trigger.
Yes, and he's about
and the
to
doorbell rings.
He goes back. Cares for them, then they are the reason his life turned around. It's because
so
they're now caring
his
for him.
Guardian angels, in a sense.
So if they ever die, Dave's done.
Oh, you know what's crazy is the VHS that I had. It actually had two different origin stories on it.
What was the second one?
That he finds them and they save his life by writing a hit song for him.
Oh man!
See, that to me sounds more of what.
But then it sounds like he's exploiting them.
Oh, he totally and
yeah.
It's yeah.
It's a, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a given. It's part of the relationship.
Yeah, it's fine.
Totally.
It's fine. They're eating.
It's there's a bit of Stockholm in here. There has to be to make it work. But great. We have a big one last question for you, Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming on. The question we have for every guest. We, of course, in this podcast, we declare that we will watch anything once.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to know what Claire, if there is a specific genre, a specific actor, like you can go as broad or narrow as you want. But we want to know what movie mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. choose to go to avoid and not watch.
Oh, okay. I don't know if there's anything in particular. I noticed that I'm not a big like superhero movie person or action movie person. Mm. And this, I've figured out why though, is because in any big action scene, like, you know, what's going to happen, you know, what's going to happen. You know, who's going to win. There's a big to do and there's usually like a false ending and I just can't put up with it, not so anymore. It doesn't draw me in. But having said that, I still will watch them.
What was the last one you saw, the, either action or superhero?
I guess it, probably Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which, as I was saying, that was bad because I did enjoy that movie. However, it still had that aspect that I was like,
is it a chore to get you to watch them? Is that what's up?
Kinda, yeah. Although I did go see that one by myself, so maybe. But, okay, so you know what other... I do avoid horror a lot. I've noticed.
That's a big one for me, too. Yeah. It's very... It's actually... I'm finding more and more that a lot of people do avoid horror.
And that's another thing, too, where I want to say that I don't, but I can't even tell you the last horror movie that I saw.
Right.
Especially not in a theater.
But I want to go back to the superhero thing.
Yeah.
Because I want to know if, like, you said you just enjoyed it, but it still had that element of, like, I know how this is going to come out. Mm-hmm. Is there ever been, in either of, Connie, if you can think of this, is there ever one where, or a movie recently, or an action movie that you can think doesn't do that, or has sort of subverted or surprised you in it at all?
I'm sure there are ones, but I don't see enough of them to know. It's just like, it's so formulaic. Even in, like, I remember seeing Ghostbusters was like that too. There's like a huge, long, drawn out action scene, and then you think it's over. It's not over. The bad guy comes back, but then obviously he's defeated in the end.
I don't really like superhero movies either because, one, like, it usually requires some level of fandom behind it.
Yeah, that's hard too.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anything about superheroes.
And I feel like if there's specific movies, like, I enjoyed the Batman series because I enjoy Batman.
Mm.
Not a big fan of Superman. Not a big fan of Spider-Man, but I will watch the shit out of an X-Men movie. I think I've seen all of them.
Oh, okay.
But
there's more story there.
There's
though,
more
right?
stories. There's more character complexities. And as a result, the fight sequences are a little bit more interesting.
Mm-hmm. I would disagree, but I don't like the X-Men movies. I think they've been garbage. I want them. I literally want them to stop making them currently. Let them rest for a couple years and reboot them 100% through the Marvel Studios. Because that's just my opinion. I haven't liked them at all. I think they keep playing one note.
Kelsey Grammer as Beast, come on.
He could have been. I'm not saying the casting's bad. It's that I don't like Simon Kinberg as a writer. See, I think he's doing a terrible job.
The Nightcrawler fight scene in the White House was one of the best.
100% a great opener. But overall, I don't think that Brian.
Compared to Spider-Man, though?
The new one?
I haven't seen the latest one, I will admit.
The new one buries those movies and buries the old Superman.
Did you like the Tobey Maguire ones, though?
I didn't.
There we go.
I did not like them.
I saw the Tobey Maguire ones and I did like
those.
Number two
is the closest one that gets to a like for me. Like, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. But overall, I don't like him. I think Tobey Maguire is a good Peter Parker, terrible Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I think Sam Raimi's direction doesn't age well.
Mm.
It's fun, but it doesn't age well.
Mm.
At least in those movies.
So it's like one of those areas that, like, I wish I liked superheroes because it seems like people have so much fun being fans, like you said, but it's a lot of work knowing all the backstories.
100%. But
like,
I would,
all the research and things.
I agree. What I have appreciated, though, is I think the MCU has done the I say MCU like a fan. Marvel. It just means Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
What I like is that instead of saying this movie universe is directly connected to the comics, it's separate.
Mm, okay.
That if you have been watching all of the Marvel movies, you don't need to be picking up a comic book to understand any of the thread. You can just be, there's Easter eggs, of course, for us that read comics.
And,
but if you just watch those, like, you can watch Iron Man and be like, I got this. It's Iron Man. And here's why.
Yeah.
That's what I've liked about those movies is that
I enjoyed Iron Man.
They're self-contained in that universe. They're not reliant on, like,
If
you want to understand Captain America Civil War, you need to read the actual Civil War. Because to be honest, Civil War from the comic book in the movie, completely fucking different.
Well, it wouldn't make sense because they want people to just come to the movie. Mm-hmm. They don't.
Yeah, I 100%
agree. They want anybody to be able to go. I get it.
I think the complexities have been great through this Marvel's cinematic universe. This is all. I'm not saying what you're saying. That's probably in there 100%, and
I don't want to say look for it because that will ruin your experience because it's in every movie.
No, but I think even there's movies that aren't those big skeptics.
Yeah. It's also just kind of like the structure. Like, it has to be that way, obviously, unless the good guy loses, which I guess is sort of like
Mars Attacks. Yeah, I love Mars Attacks. Is that what you said? Mars Attacks,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to rack my head. Civil War might come a little close because you have two factions that it's just one ends up having to lose. Did you see the Captain America Civil War by any chance? Yeah, I'm not going to press you to go see it. I'm just saying I think it might break that a little bit. Okay. A little bit just because did you see it, Connie?
Nah. I do think they're fun and like it's fun. They're like fun to go to see in the theater because of all that. But I don't know for some reason.
Love them, but I'm not a person that wants to force anybody to watch them.
I don't know. You got pretty animated during this discussion.
Hey,
you can't see this, but he stood up a couple of times.
Because I love it. I love it. I'm nerdy for it. But my standing up is that I want to defend it and give it value.
And point at Claire a couple of times.
I point too much. Jesus.
As if I didn't know that I was being spoken to.
No, stand behind your opinions, though, Claire. I mean,
I think you're right because I think I watch movies and I go, you're right. I could probably, every action movie I like probably has that in it.
Oh, it does. It for sure does.
And I just go, all right, I'm going to go along with it.
I mean, yeah, you do have to go along with it. And that's not to say I haven't enjoyed other action movies. Like, I'm sure like Force Awakens has it and they all have it, you know? I think it's just a chore for me to get through.
That's why I'm like
big
wondering
action
if there's
scenes.
Something out there that breaks it a little bit and surprises us, but within that genre or not.
Mm.
And I'm trying to find one in my head.
I don't know. I guess it would have to be like mini battles because there's always, it's just always a big built up, drawn out battle. And someone was telling
me. I think
me
it's the ones where they take some liberties. Like with Iron Man, apparently Robert Downey Jr. improvised a lot of his dialogue. Mm. So I think like that movie is the first time I found him incredibly charming aside from Chaplin. Yeah.
Oh, I love Kim and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh, that too.
Heart and Souls?
I don't think I've seen Heart.
Oh my God, we should do that movie. It's great. Just do them all.
But
maybe I'll have to find a reason to point at you.
But I'm like, this guy is crazy charming. And I think that the really good superhero movies are the ones that have some level of authenticity to them.
Yeah, I think that that's what would fix it is if during those big battles you still see character moments.
Then I would say that I would say this. There's three movies out of those Marvels, if you haven't watched them, it's the ones I own. That I think live up to what you're saying. Like to have Avengers, I think the first Avengers does that. I think through all those action, there's development going on of the actual characters, even through the final big, huge battle. Literally, there's closure on certain conflict between characters. Captain America, Winter Soldier, same thing.
Okay.
And Scarlett Johansson, fucking finally she rules in it. I love her in that one as a Black Widow. And Civil War, same thing. I think there's character development happening through every, or story happening through every battle.
Yeah. Okay.
Those are the three I'd be like, I can confidently say that I think that's in there a bit.
Yeah.
I'm so unfamiliar with these movies that I wasn't sure that you named three.
No, I didn't.
I did.
Avengers. You said Avengers.
The Avengers.
Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Captain America, Civil War.
Oh, okay. There are so many.
I might have not even named the third one, to be honest.
There's so many that come out. I don't know the difference between any of them.
100%. There's so much out there.
Yeah, I never saw the one where the guy who played the one who plays Captain America, where he starts as a shrinky dink and then gets all jacked.
What?
Now, you've seen that sequence, right? Where you see him before he's Captain America and they do some experiments on him.
What? No.
Yeah, he's the very worst. Tiny.
It's amazing CGI. He's freakishly small. It's hilarious.
He's like tinier than me. No muscle mass.
The next time you guys talk to me, I'm going to be super into superhero movies.
Just Google the sequence.
Just dive
YouTube
in.
Google and do whatever.
App Captain America becoming Captain America. It's pretty hilarious.
He goes from tiny to huge.
But his head's the same size. And it's like when Mike Myers plays a kid version of himself in The Love Guru, where it's his head on a child's body.
Oh,
it's
my
gosh. It's pretty great.
Okay.
Somebody else does that in a movie with what's his from Portlandia,
Fred Armisen.
Yeah, what? There's a movie where he plays a kid and they've superimposed his head on it, and I can't.
Was
think
it
of
in
it
a movie?
That or a TV show?
I think there's a Key and Peele sketch.
He,
Yeah, they do that. They do that when it's little kid Forrest Whitaker.
That's a great sketch. Yes, that's yes.
That just sounds
his
funny.
His performance is so funny. That's really sounds funny. A really funny sketch where Forrest Whitaker is a kid that I think Jordan's playing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's really funny. It's like, yeah, you're right. I have one other question, just random, because are you big? You do this Inside the Vault Disney podcast.
Yeah.
That's a great. And then you, of course, picked an animated movie. Are you normally see a lot of animated movies on the regular?
I mean, not like as soon as I did that, I was like, oh, wow. Now I'm like animated movie gal. But yes, I mean, definitely like I see them, but not any more so than regular, you know, live action movies. This,
what was the big one you've seen? I was the only reason I want to ask is if you were.
Yeah.
What was the most recent one that you loved?
Oh, well, I do. I love animation. I do. Because I think I also just love movie musicals, and it usually happens in animation. What's the most recent animated movie?
Yeah, recent or one that's coming up that you're super excited for?
I guess the most recent probably isn't that recent. It was probably Moana, unless you're counting Moana like Disney Vault stuff.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that. Was in my top five last year.
I thought it was okay.
Okay, so this is another thing. Is like Moana's, I think it's great, but also still like pretty formulaic, but that's just because that's how movies are.
I found it weirdly linear. That's all I'm going to say.
What do you mean?
Yeah, like, I'm just like, linear? Like, she's just like, and we're sailing and now we're at an island.
Yes.
And now we're here and now we're there. And it's,
also everybody was like, story. There's a huge,
no, it's just like it. I remember thinking, how long is this at one point?
Yeah. People talked about how there was a huge twist in it, but I was like, okay, where's the twist? Although the twist is not really a twist.
Was that even a twist?
The end where like who the villain was, you mean?
No, it was like the fact that I think she needs to save herself.
That's the message. That's not the twist.
I think that's what people are talking about.
That's the requirement of this movie.
Well, because it's just presented to you as if she needs the Rock to do it for her.
Yeah, that's what I loved about it. Eventually, it was like, we don't need you.
Yeah.
I liked that. That was my... I love that part.
Yeah.
Is it weird that I felt, when I heard about this movie, I instantly felt bad for it based on I knowing how they market their films towards toy distribution?
I mean, no, I don't think it's bad. I think, yeah. This is kind of how it is.
Like,
because
they released those Moana costumes and people flipped the fuck out.
Like, flipped out good or bad?
Bad, because it was basically you see a little white kid wearing an Aboriginal costume with tats and everything.
That's funny. But here's the thing. I have something. This is a very touchy subject. I get it. I'm not going to be able to offer much from it from my point of view. But I read something very interesting, an article or somebody posted. That in Utah, this girl had a kabuki party and she put on traditional kabuki makeup and somebody, a bunch of people who happened to be white, got on there and were calling her and her mother racist. Then a woman who was Japanese and grew up in Japan came on and said, I don't find this racist. Actually, in our culture, we like to share it with people. This is we see this actually as a celebration.
Yeah.
It was very an interest. I don't
know.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to know when something's being racist versus when something's being a tribute.
Right.
Yes.
Well, and also because if you're a little kid and you really like that character, you're dressing as that character.
It is a tribute with that child's eyes.
Yeah, because I remember in elementary school, we would have days where we dressed up in ethnic clothes and it was fun because it's like, as a child, dressing in costumes is a fun way to learn.
Yes,
and just like really embody that person. It's not about Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is a mockery of a culture versus a tribute.
Yeah, because like everyone was ripping Katy Perry to shreds when she, I might be out of line here, dressed in, let's say, traditional Japanese wear. And everyone's like, oh, this is racist. But in her mind, she was doing a tribute because she grew up with foreign exchange students that were from Japan and she loved their clothes and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very, I don't know. It's so hard and it's so much to do with like the spirit in which you do something, but then people I think are very quick to like berate other people for something that I don't know, they like to build a lot of controversy where sometimes there is none.
And I think a lot of times it's the people that are not of like, it's not like that case. It's, I bet you a majority wasn't Japanese people, it was white poli sci majors.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm like, I like it when we voice our, like, when we stick up for other people.
I feel like as long as it's done respectfully, like, you're not doing this at Coachella.
Exactly. If it's something like, context is huge as well. And if in that,
like in Big Trouble in Little China, Kim Cattrall is dressed in ancient, traditional Chinese garb.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's weirdly done very respectfully.
I love that. It's one of my favorite movies. And I think it
not
is too.
Not as racist as you think.
And I would say she, in the story, in the case of the story, doesn't put on herself.
Oh no,
it's forced on her, and they put it on her because she's going to be a sacrifice.
The only time it should be worn is when it's forced on you.
You know, that's not true.
And then it's an issue for other reasons.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I think the people that are like attack rather than make a conversation about it. Like, hey, like, you should have a conversation rather than attack. You should be like, is this appropriate for Katy Perry?
It's just such a...
But those people that attack, I feel like, are trying to... are in a weird way doing it for them to get congratulated for being the first one to be like, I'm calling out your thing. And it's like, we should all...
Well, and like Connie was saying, like, where's the line of like when you're sharing something with people and then when you're taking ownership and saying, no, you can't use this. Like, it's just such a line, like... I don't know, because people want to share cultures, and like we do that with food all the time, and like is that an issue or like is it just like I think physical things
for me
or?
I feel like as long as it's done respectfully and with some research done into it,
right?
But I know for some other people it's like no way, no how.
That's true. And I guess that's just it's gonna have to be case by case in some sense.
But until then,
I'm going to wear my Alvin sweater from here on out.
And with your chipmunk eyes, your chipmunk blue eyes.
But yeah, I mean, we don't have the answers to that question.
No,
but
it's an interesting question.
But I've had a great time here, Claire.
I'm so happy that you enjoyed it.
I love this movie.
Connie, I'm so happy that you already knew it.
I was so excited when he told me what the movie was. I was like,
she was pumped.
This is one of those movies that I grew up with, and I have no idea if other people even know it exists.
I didn't know. Yeah. I mean, I knew of the series, but I wasn't like an avid watcher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
All right.
Again,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you want more from Claire Loughran, you can follow her on Twitter at Twiddle Claire, that's TWEETLECLARE, as well as on Instagram at Clary underscore Poppins, CLARY_POPPINS, like Mary Poppins. And she hosts, or co-hosts, actually, with there's three hosts on this wonderful podcast called Inside the Disney Vault on What's a Creative Podcast Network. They watch every single Disney produced movie, and they're going through all of them and having great guests on. So check them out at Inside Disney Vault on Instagram to stay up to date on that, and definitely check out that podcast. It's a wonderful listen with wonderful hosts. Thank you again for listening to this podcast. If you're enjoying it, please go on to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or your preferred podcast app, and please subscribe, rate, and review I Will Watch Anything Once. That would be much appreciated. And then you can also follow the podcast on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, at IWWAO. There's a Facebook page as well. And if you have questions for your hosts or want to suggest movies, you can email us at IWillWatchAnythingOnce@gmail.com. So thank you again for listening. We highly enjoy putting this content into your ears right here on Boardwalk Audio Network. Help out all of our great podcasts by clicking that button. Support our artists. Thank you again for listening. And remember, if you haven't seen it once, you can't complain.
Fun fact, they take 1 million gallons of helium to fill this.
1 gallon?
Cubic. How do you measure it? Cubic feet?
I don't
cubes.
Know.
Cubes.
Cubes.
Cubes
of air.
has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.